Oh, we're live. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Hoop Talks and Dishes and Dimes Live. The only thing with this is we can't see numbers of how many people are watching, which is maybe better because we'll be consistent.
I think it's a million.
I'm Katie.
We broke a million today.
That's Iman. Noor and Kelsey. I'm pointing at their boxes where they are on my screen, but maybe they're different for you. Are we?
No. Who knows? Bottom left.
We're around here.
Iman's bottom right.
On top. Yeah.
Yeah. Top.
There we go. So now that we've figured out our orientation in the world, we could get started. I don't know. We like to chat. We like to chat when we get here. But I guess for this new format, first off, if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask them on Facebook. They'll get dropped into the chat for us to see. Likewise, if you have any questions on Twitter, same. So just we'll try and tackle those midway through and then toward the end of the show. But if you have a question at any time, just fire away. We are actually, so just try your best.
I thought you dropped the F-bomb there. You're like, just beep and fire away.
Just
it's like, okay, Katie, we're starting off good. Just go for it.
Let's just go for it. Let's talk about who else went for it. The Miami Heat. What did we think about this game, and were our hearts still raw from the Raptors elimination, or were we ready to see this kind of zesty carnage that the Miami Heat brought to the Boston Celtics? Iman, what'd you think?
Oh, my heart is completely still raw. I purposely did not watch that game. I was watching Netflix the entire time, seeing everybody's tweets and just like enjoying the fact that the Boston Celtics lost without having to sit back and watch that.
Noor?
Yeah, I didn't watch either. I wasn't going to watch the Celtics. It's the Celtics. I'm not going to watch them play after they beat us. But I honestly thought that it probably was going to be a Celtics game, but I was so happy that they got it. Like, Jimmy Butler overtime, you can't go wrong. That's like his moment. And Dragic came through. Just Miami as a team came through. And if they can continue this, like, just sweep them away. Send them home. That's all I want to see. I want to see Marcus Smart on a plane in a week.
Crying. Kelsey, did you watch?
Of course I watched.
Okay, good. I was like, I'm the only one who watched the game, but
let's talk about it. At the beginning of the season, I had Miami coming out of the East as a sleeper pick. So that game was like great for me. It didn't look like it was going to go all great in the beginning. They were down quite a bit for a while, but they pulled it out. And yeah, it was a great game. Bam Adebayo.
Perfect that block. Wow.
Bam. I love him.
Heard about it.
Sure. You saw the block, though.
Yeah, I saw the block.
I completely avoided this game.
You're really wrong.
I tweeted the SpongeBob meme where it was like, to-do list, nothing, scratch out. Like, that's going to be me the entire Eastern Conference Finals.
You're so broken.
You are broken. You know,
I'm just like...
I'm just like, they're still playing basketball over there. Like, it's still a game that people play in Florida. It's over for me.
It might make you both feel a lot better, just given the way that, I mean, it hurt me a little bit because I was watching the Heat, and Kelsey, let me know if you felt this way too, but like, they brought this kind of like, I don't know, I keep saying zesty, and it's not the right word, but there's this like energy, they've got energy to spare, and the way that they played, like, it hurt my feelings a little because it's kind of, there were punches that I feel like the Raptors needed, you know, like all throughout the games that they let get away from them. Miami never really let that happen. They came back super strong every time. I don't know if that's just the amount of like young, weird energy on that team or just Jimmy or just Bam, but I felt it was kind of soothing to see them slap the Celtics around with that.
Yeah. And I mean, they also had, you know, almost like a full week to rest. So, if we had a full week to rest in between games, I'm pretty sure we could have done that too.
Mm-hmm. I think
that's why I couldn't.
Yeah, sorry, Noor.
No, it's okay. I was like, that's why I couldn't watch it because I was like, the whole time I'd just be like, that could have been us. That should have been a sleeper. One possession away. Like any time I watched the highlights and I saw the transition buckets, I was like, oof, if we just had the one, that would have been our game against Miami. But like that, what if, I can't bring myself to watch this series. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
The playoffs are really fun like that. Because I think if Milwaukee had played the Celtics, I think that they would be in the conference finals right now. And if the Raptors had played the Heat, I think the Raptors would be in the conference finals right now. So matchups in the playoffs are really interesting like that. But I think the Miami Heat just sort of go to show that you really do, and we've been saying this for so long with the Raptors, just because we've had that guy for so long. It was DeMar, then it was Kawhi. You need that wing scorer in late game situations. Jimmy Butler, we've seen what he can do against the Raptors in overtime, where he had like the only points in overtime against the Raptors for one game. And him showing up, I'm sure, in game one, the game that I didn't watch, I'm sure it was Jimmy Butler showing up in those moments. You really do need that guy who can create his own shot. Jimmy is suddenly an insane shooter, which is fun. He shows up in the playoffs. He is what people assume Paul George is in the playoffs.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that, but we got to pace ourselves.
Marcus Smart had the entire time. I'm down for that. I watched that game.
Oh, man. I mean, this is the thing. With Miami, I kind of worry whether they have the staying power to best the Celtics. I don't know if they'll beat them, but, like, to win this series, basically. Because I think, you know, the Celtics sort of have an answer. Unfortunately, they do have an answer for Jimmy, though Jimmy is, like, bringing it all in the playoffs. Like, I'm on to your point. Like, he's totally come alive in a different way. He is a player that does that, and he's never stressed out or worried about not being able to do that. He just knows he can turn it on. So they kind of have an answer for him. They have an answer for Dragic. I don't know that they have a good answer for Bam, which could be the kind of like the tipping point between those teams.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the Raptors had OG Anunoby, who was their answer for Bam. So who knows what the Celtics could do. Brad Stevens can get really creative as well.
Yeah, well, because you both aren't going to watch. Kelsey, I feel like this could get chippy, this series. Is there like
there's a lot of,
not that we're condoning violence, but there's an energy. Is there, if the energy were to, is there anyone see?
It's gonna be James Potter, and it's gonna be Marcus Smart. That's because they're big talking guys. Mm-hmm. And they've actually had the play in last series for both of them, and this series for both of them, the one game that we've seen. They've actually had the ability to back it up. So it could be interesting. It could be kind of like, I don't know, a peeing contest between the two of them.
I like that you said that, because in my head I'm thinking, like, who are the players on Miami who would, like, start the fight, like, or would be the cause for a fight? And my mind automatically went to Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk. And I'm like, they're both former
Celtics. Yeah.
They both play. Like, is there some sort of, like, kids? Like, do they have some sort of fondness for the team? Does Marcus Smart maybe like Jay Crowder because they play together? There's some sort of, like, niceness there. So then my next answer is Goran, because I think no one likes Goran. And I think
his brother likes him a lot. Zoran.
I mean, like, on the court, no one likes against Goran likes Goran. Nobody likes dirty shots, okay? So I feel like he could be the cause for some fights. Marcus Smart, Goran Dragic fight, I'm calling it now.
Okay, fair. Nor?
Yeah, I would probably say, I feel like Jimmy Butler, he has that alpha mentality, and if he goes up against Marcus Smart, that's a fight that I would pay to watch. Like, put that on pay-per-view. Like, that's like the hockey equivalent to basketball. But besides that, yeah, I feel like both teams have very, very temperamental men, and anything can really happen. Like, for us, we had a pretty good leader who was just like, okay, we got to settle things down. And he was even able to calm Ibaka down whenever he needed to. But I don't really know if both teams really have that. But Jimmy Butler, he would be the one pushing to start a fight. So I don't know.
I don't know if I would see him like coming to blows, because I feel like he likes to taunt, you know, like
he wouldn't, but I want him to.
Yeah, if he needs to, for our honor, right?
Yeah.
I feel like.
Just for, so, yeah, save us, Jimmy Butler, save us.
The last and only thing I want to ever say about Goran Dragic is, yesterday I learned that when he makes threes, he screams Zoran, which is his brother's name, which I thought was kind of nice.
Everything I've heard about him is that off the court, he is fantastic. He's like the nicest guy you'll ever speak to. But on the court, everybody hates him.
Oh, buddy.
I follow way too many Heat fans for me to talk negatively about Goran Dragic.
I like the Heat. I like the Heat a lot.
I do as well.
I think we're all like unanimous Heat fans.
Obviously. Yeah, if it were anybody else besides the Raptors, I feel like it would be the Heat.
Bam Adebayo. I don't care about the rest of that team. Oh.
Okay. I mean, Tyler Hero, Myers Leonard, and the other guy. They're all kind of interchangeable to me. They bring the same kind of. I don't really like their vibe.
Mm-hmm. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are really fun. They have a fun team. They're a scrappy young bunch, overachieving.
We'll see what happens, but I don't want to predict anything yet based on that game. I think the Celtics are going to come back a little bit hot and probably want to get one or two in a row.
I wish I had a broom here. That's all I want to be doing right now. Send them home, Jimmy Buckets.
I personally, what I want to see is if I want either a Celtics Lakers finals or a Heat Nuggets. I don't want any other combination. It's got to be like the underdog or like we can just get boring another Celtics Lakers lore finals. I'll be fine with either one.
Kelsey, do you want to make a prediction?
I don't want to make a prediction. I'll just what I want is a Heat Nuggets final.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't predict anything because that always goes terribly.
Oh, I just want to let someone know who entered the chat. No, you did not miss any Clippers slander. You actually got here just in time because the Clippers are flying home right now. Do you think they packed their bags before that game? I do, the way that they were playing.
Yeah, they were being like 1, 2, 3, Cancun, let's go. And then
I feel like Kawhi packed and everyone else is like, what are you doing?
He was just quietly packing. He brought his rolling suitcase and just tucked it away somewhere, like in the makeshift locker room. Yeah.
Kawhi packed for all of his teammates too, because all he does is everything for them.
Oh no.
Is like, we're still in the driver's seat. We're at the fucking airport.
Yeah, like on the bus back home. Still in the driver's seat. Going where? Back to Los Angeles?
I feel bad. I do feel bad for Kawhi. I mean, I think we got a little bit of our comeuppance with that game, but watching him, I was just like, buddy, like you need a point guard and you had one, but I just want
something
that worked. Oh.
Do you miss us, Kawhi? I know he's watching. He has nothing else to do right now.
He's probably watching. Kawhi, ask a question. We'll be nice. Don't be shy.
We will take you back with open arms.
It's kind of sad that he, like, I feel really bad for him because he really did was like, okay, don't want to be in the cold, don't want to be in Canada, want to be back at home, which, like, I completely respect. Like, I respect that decision so much. Like, some things are just bigger than basketball. But they all ended up in the bubble in the same place anyway. And then he just ended up on a worse team. Like, what just
kind of
circumstances?
California is, like, burning to the ground now.
Yeah.
Everything he wanted just went like terrible for him. Like nothing worked out in any way. Like he wanted to be in LA. He was in Orlando. He wanted to win his second round exit. He wanted to have a good second point guard, a second fiddle to his team. He got Paul George. Like nothing he wanted worked out. He wanted Masai. He got Steve Ballmer. Like nothing he wanted worked out for him. And I feel like the way that he played the game was almost like he just wanted to go home. He's like, fuck the bubble. Screw all this. I'm ready for the family. Like, he was just done. And it's weird. Like, you don't see that with Kawhi.
Cornrows.
What's that?
So to top it all off, he's back to having bad cornrows. When it pours, it rains, Kawhi. When it pours, it rains.
When it rains, it pours.
I don't know. Sammy.
Of course,
it rains.
They're technically both true. It's happening simultaneously, so it's all right.
When it rains, it pours.
Jerome,
what was that?
Jerome says, Kawhi, do Shoppers Optimum points expire? Asking for a friend. Hi, Jerome.
I don't think they do. Hi, Jerome.
You can send them to me, Kawhi.
Yeah. I don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
My mom has been running those up for so long, those Optimum and PC points, and now she has like $500.
Yeah, I've been running mine up since high school. They come in handy.
Yeah.
They don't come in handy when you need an effective player, though, unfortunately. Ooh, let's talk about Playoff P.
Playoff P, a.k.a. Way Off P, a.k.a. Player Option P.
Might not be the best name basketball player right now.
This is a little out of order, but we'll take it. Jordan, fine.
Only for you, though.
Yeah.
Only for Jordan. So does anyone change their stance on Jamal Murray not being the best Canadian basketball player right now? I think he is.
He is.
I might have said Shea if you'd asked me before, but not because I necessarily think that Shea's the better player right now, but I think that we often look at young players as what they can be, and maybe sometimes we're looking at next year as opposed to what they offer in this sort of current form. But I think Jamal Murray, what he's doing in the playoffs right now, is absolutely just insane. It's great. It's fun. He's the best
broken back.
Unless we consider Kyle Lowry Canadian, because in my heart he is, and then he's number one.
And Lou Dort. We cannot talk about great Canadians in the NBA without Lugans Dort.
I think there's some like real like guys on the come up 100%, which is like so incredible just to think about how many years, I don't even think years, maybe just like half a season away, like months away those guys are. But yeah, I think Jamal's got my vote.
And I think
you just sent Kawhi home. We can't say anything.
I think they're both in really good positions to have systems built around them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both Jay and Jamal.
I mean, the thing with that Nuggets team that I think we kind of forgot, because it's like, oh, they're outliers. Like they clawed their way back twice, obviously like a feat in itself, is I think like, you know, that team has been working at this and like kind of chipping away and like quietly building for a few seasons now. Like they obviously got a little bit extra oomph and like decided kind of they were going to sink their teeth into it this year. And the bubble, I think, helped them, you know, the mysteries of the bubble helping a lot of teams out. But you know, I think that's like the main thing when you look at that team versus the Clippers. Like the Clippers expected it. Like they expected to kind of skate in and take it. Whereas like the Nuggets came to play basketball, which I think is the main difference.
Well, even in his post-game interview, I think what Jamal Murray said, like he was asked, oh, are you worried about going up against LeBron and the Lakers? And they said, we're not looking at it that way. We're looking at it as they have to go up against us too. And I think bringing that energy into a series where you're going to have to face, you know, the greatest player in the world is so, so, so important.
Mm-hmm. I like that you said that. Can I ask, are we all in agreement now that LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world? Because I think for a while, Kawhi's name was up there just because of what he was able to do with the Raptors. But in all honesty, Kawhi is great and I love him. And I don't want to take anything away from him. But I think all of that talk was really just kind of a little bit of a slight towards the Toronto Raptors. It acted as if Kawhi's brilliance alone is what took the Raptors there. And I think that's what made his star burn brighter than what people, and that's why people sort of expected the Clippers to run through this all. And I think it discredits what Pascal Siakam did in the playoffs last year, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, so on and so forth. So do you guys think that LeBron James is the best player in basketball? Because I've sort of maintained that this entire time.
Yeah, I do. Okay.
Nor?
I'm looking at you, but I feel like you're the best. I know she's staring at me. I feel like currently, if we're going to go, I don't think we can make that argument just right now, just based off this season. Maybe I wouldn't say this is a write-off season or anything like that, because like, yeah, people win and everything. But I also think that there's just so much involved with this season that you can't really make any comparisons that clearly, just because people deal with things different ways. I don't know. But when it comes to basketball, this season, yes. LeBron had the better season for sure. He's doing what he is doing with the Lakers. I mean, I honestly personally thought it was going to be Clippers in the final. And I could not have been more wrong. Like Kawhi's out right now. He's packing. He's probably flying right now to Florida, to California. But what LeBron has been able to do in the past too, with those Cavs teams, with everything, you can't knock his greatness out no matter how his regular season goes, because when he needs to show up, he does show up. And we just didn't see that with Kawhi this season, I feel like.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree with that. Like, I think that, like, because LeBron really carried those Cavs teams, that's how people treated Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors. And it was just not the same thing. The Raptors are a good
team. No, not at all.
60, like, you know, on pace to win 60 games this year. This is a good team. It's not the Cavs. Sorry.
I have to take the Morai into equation, too. I mean, what Kawhi was able to do with a Morai and what LeBron was able to do with a Morai are night and day. You know, LeBron's advanced to the conference finals. Kawhi had to reel this guy in every game, and it didn't bode well for him.
Jerome asks, how is Kawhi the cat coping? I haven't broken it to him yet. I'm like waiting for the perfect moment to be like, hey, remember your namesake? He's out. He left the bubble. He's no longer winning. But we'll see. We'll see how he does. You know what? I have Kawhi the cat. So to me, that's all that matters. That's my little baby.
I did want to go back quickly to Iman, what you said, because I think this is like the interesting thing to me when you do the comparisons between Raptors and Clippers, which we aren't making, because I think we've seen firsthand what happened. Like Kawhi came to the Raptors and fit in so well and was able to like give them the extra push and make a run at the chip because they had everything in place. They had all the foundational support of the team. They had the chemistry like well in place. They had like strong front office organization, and he didn't have to be a leader. Like he was essentially like freed up to be the best version of himself as a shooter, as a defender that he ever like would hope to be. Like probably a little bit better even than he had it in San Antonio, you know, and like they set that up for him. And then I don't know why you could think like the Clippers had the model. Yeah, they had a lot of like disparate pieces and they wanted him to like fuse them together, but it's not just like magic. Like, you know, we like to think it could be magic, but like those things, there was a lot of hard work that went into that like season after season, and Kawhi kind of landed in like the optimum place, but that wasn't an accident. Like Masai had kind of, and he left.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that kind of reminds me of KD's comments about Kawhi. And I probably will throw that question to you guys, where he said that he believes Kawhi is more of like a system player. He's a team player. He's not really the guy that you turn to, the superstar that you rely on. And when you put him in teams like Spurs and Toronto, which are team sports, and they are very much they have their moral set, what they want out of the player set, like everything there is just set for him. He just has to come in and complete the circle and the system or whatever. Whereas with the Clippers, he kind of has to lead. He has to do everything. And keeping those three scenarios in mind, do you guys think there's some truth to what KD said about Kawhi?
I don't, because I think that was a little bit disrespectful. I don't think that Kawhi is a system player. I do think that he needs the solid system around him, but he can fit into either one. What we saw with the Raptors is the Raptors had a system, but when Kawhi Leonard was there, they meshed because of that sort of continuity, because of that chemistry, because of that high basketball IQ. They were able to really fit around Kawhi Leonard and match what he could bring. I wouldn't call him a system player just because of how special he is on the offensive end. He builds a system. He dictates the system. And to me, that seems a little bit different. I think that KD was giving Greg Popovich too much credit and acting as if Greg Popovich was the reason for Kawhi Leonard's success, which to me is not the case. But I want to just bring it back to what KD said a second ago about the Raptors kind of having everything established and then Kawhi Leonard fitting in. We kind of saw that in both the Game 7s. Like, if we actually look at the Raptors Game 7, it came right down to the wire, and what they lacked was a closer. What they lacked was that superstar to come out and get baskets. Kyle Lowry fouled out and the Raptors could not get a basket. Like, there was 35 seconds left, down 2 points. We knew that they were not going to get it. Like, that was just it. Fred VanVleet had the ball. He wanted to get a three. But, like, unfortunately, you need a superstar in that moment. And the Raptors didn't have that because Kawhi was gone. And then you compare that to the Clippers fourth quarter in Game 7. They needed everything. They were not playing defense at all. They were not scoring. There was literally nothing that they were doing that looked like winning basketball. They did not look like a team that was poised to make the finals. Everyone thought that they would be contenders. They literally needed everything. And that's the difference between the Toronto Raptors and the Los Angeles Clippers, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Kawhi Leonard could be a system player if the system around him is willing to work, and the Clippers weren't. Like, everyone has to be in agreement. And I feel like, you know, you wanted another star, and you have Paul George, and he kind of wants to be the star. And then he goes and pump fakes three times and gives the ball to the other team. Like, there's too many people that want to be the number one option and won't allow Kawhi to be the number one option.
And I feel like, does that also come with maybe Kawhi should be more of a vocal leader? Like, maybe he's missing that part where he needs to set the team in straight. Obviously, his teammates should know, like, what their roles are and everything. But when you have guys with egos like that, I feel like with Kawhi, he's not really a vocal leader. He's not very hands-on. And maybe they needed to just be disciplined and be like, hey, listen, like, I'm the guy. You pass me the ball, and we make plays for each other. Whereas Kawhi's, we've saw it in the Raptors too. It was mostly Kyle Lowry who was leading the talks and the hurdles, leading, doing whatever a leader does. And Kawhi is there leading on the court, not really leading off the court.
And I think, like, to that point, Kawhi totally thrived under the leadership of Lowry. I mean, yes, like everyone else does on the Raptors, but also I think he did get a chance to, like, step into a little bit of a leadership role. I don't know how much more vocal he was, because I was like that totally, but he did, you could see that his communication just, like, with the team as he got more comfortable was, like, more fluid. He did kind of try a hand at playmaking because he was sort of freed up to basically, he didn't have to be the main guy, but he could try it out a little bit. And I think I would have been more curious, I mean, we all would have been, but to see how that would have shaped his career in like a completely different way, like, and his playing style going forward, because now the Clippers are just like, they're stacked with personalities, but there's nobody there to really get a handle on all of them, right? And, like, they talk a big game, and, you know, we've seen, like, they haven't been able to get past this point, and what, like, since Chris Paul was, like, on that team, and it's just like, you know, well, yeah, well before Chris Paul, but I guess I think of, like, Chris Paul and that, like, and Blake Griffin and DeAndre as, like, being the closest shot they had previously to get there, like, some personality. He's there. They couldn't make the run. And then with this same build that, like, doesn't work. It's just like, okay, let's stack it with guys that, like, talk a lot of shit, right? And, like, can be run and gun, but are, like, super streaky and, like, not, I don't know, just, like, so unorganized. Like, it's a mess watching them. If you like watching basketball, watching the Clippers is, like, not
that fun. Don't watch the Clippers.
No, they're actually just not fun to watch. And I kind of felt that the entire year. I'm just like, this is not a fun team to watch. But it's actually so funny to me that they did have that, like, Blake Griffin, Lob City, like, even, like, past the Lob City years. But still, like, Blake and what's his name, Chris Paul. And they really just could not get past Josh hitting a bunch of threes. Like, it's actually so funny that was what stopped them. And then they did all of this. Orchestrated a full year stocking of Kawhi Leonard and still can't get past the second round. That's actually really funny to me.
I mean, it's a culture.
Yeah. What?
Their whole culture. I mean, you have one of who's supposed to be your stars going to a strip club in the middle of a pandemic. That kind of shows you where the focus of everyone outside of Kawhi was.
Talk to him, Kelsey.
And that's part of not having a leader, though. Like, and maybe that does, like everyone was saying, maybe that does fall on Kawhi Leonard, because Patrick Beverley should not be your leader. I understand that you're a Pat fan. I'm gonna slander him just a bit. But, like, Pat Bev should not be your leader. I tweeted out yesterday, I was like, Pat Bev is a bad impersonation of Marcus Smart doing a bad impersonation of Kyle Lowry. Like, that's how far removed the Clippers are from having actual leadership. And then I saw Reggie Jackson get on the court, and I was like, oh, Reggie Jackson is a bad impersonation of Patrick Beverley doing a bad impersonation of Marcus Smart doing a bad impersonation of Kyle Lowry. Like, the Clippers are just an absolute mess. And that's where we are. The Clippers needed a little bit of slander in here, so I had to throw that in.
When they hired, when they got Paul George, and they know what the history is with Paul George and Doc Rivers, I was like, how is this going to work out? What's going to happen in the locker room? Like, one wrong thing, Doc Rivers is going to be like, let me pull out the gun. Like, he's just going to be, like, fired up no matter what. But when you look at that team, the whatever is going on behind the scenes, it's just like, there's no way that would have worked on paper. There's no way that would have worked on the court, and it didn't. And Steve Ballmer spent all that money flying back and forth from Toronto, lurking and creeping us, and what happened?
He got what he wanted, I guess.
George,
bye.
It's so crazy. I mean,
we're out too, but like,
yeah, but like, we don't have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and we didn't trade away a million draft picks for the opportunity to get Paul George, who is just Terrence Ross with a sneaker deal. What is the difference? What are we looking at with Paul George? Terrence would have
I don't think they respect Doc Rivers as a coach. I mean, he said, you know, he was asked during halftime, what is it that your team needs to work on? And he said, I told them they need to stop turning the ball over. They need to play defense. And they didn't do either of those things. So I think that there's a lot of Doc talking and no one listening. And I think that you have a room full of guys with such big egos that they feel, okay, we're playing alongside Paul George. We're playing alongside Kawhi Leonard. And it's not going to work when that's your only route to the finals is having these two people.
I mean, they that is something
right when they signed Paul George and Kawhi. Like, that was that's what their problem was. Yeah. And they watched the season being like, we're champs, we're going to win this. And that's why we hated them, because we're just like, at least be freaking humble. Like, you don't know what your team looks like. Half of you are injured. Like, you've played like 20 games each. Just relax. And they come in the bubble, and it completely collapses for all of them. And as the basketball fans, as rivalry haters, and Steve Ballmer creepers, like, we're winning.
I think that is something, though, I wanted to talk about, just given all the coaches we've seen getting let go. Since before the offseason, the postseason started, but this sense of like what you hear of like when a coach loses a team, right? But I don't know if that's necessarily true for Doc, because I don't think this iteration of this Clippers team, I don't think he ever really had them, whether that's because he didn't have a handle on them to begin with, because I don't think Ballmer did. Like, I don't think, I mean, and I know I'm not giving any credit to what they said in their post games yesterday about a lack of chemistry, getting new players, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think that's the case. But do you think that this like kind of signals the end for Doc in LA?
When Kawhi went there, didn't he say that he was happy to have a coach with championship experience? Like, wasn't that kind of the thing that he held on? Sometimes it's like, you don't know what you have until you lose it, because Nick Nurse would not have just consistently sent double teams to one of the best passing big men in the entire world. It was just like absolutely shredding them. But to me, it's like, I do think that for Doc, this has to kind of be a scary situation for him. He's had three times in his career where he lost having the 3-1 lead. No coach has ever done that. No coach has ever done it more than once. He's done it three times. So I do think that this is going to be, I don't know. I think that this might be a difficult point for Doc Rivers. He might be something else next year.
I think if he had any other name other than Doc Rivers, whoever the coach was, if it wasn't Doc Rivers, if it was any other name, they would have been gone 5 minutes after the presser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah. He did not, to me, even the idea of them not having chemistry, like, that was something that, yes, we had been sort of yelling the entire year, but they seemed to not care about it. They seemed to think that their talent was going to put them through. They were mocking Damian Lillard for missing a free throw in a seeding game. Like, they were literally acting as if they had won a championship this entire year. So to now hold on to those excuses is absolutely ludicrous. Like, you were literally, if Marcus Morris or Markieff Morris, whichever Morris it was, didn't run his mouth at Paul Millsap telling him to pack his bags and go home, the Clippers would probably be in the conference finals right now, when none of us would be having this conversation. They just acted like they got there before they got there, and now they're eating their comeuppance. Is that what it's called?
They all signed their contracts, and then we're like, okay, what's your ring size?
I know.
That's exactly what happened.
That's true.
We can talk a little bit, I guess, about the potential. Well, the Eastern Conference, the finals matchup that we want, which would be Heat Nuggets, I think. I also saw a question about this, so we should do our due diligence. But what do we feel like that looks like? I mean, I love my personal bright spots for this Nuggets team last night was like Millsap just forgetting his age and just like, I don't know. I love him so much.
Triple FP.
Okay, so in the off season, Paul Millsap picked up he learned he's like, I'm gonna become a magician. So he's like, I'm an amateur magician. I'm now playoff P as well. He became like a wine connoisseur, I think, like just before they headed back into the bubble. He's like, I'm getting into wine too. So I feel like he just like keeps working on himself, like no matter what. Murray, obviously, the Joker. God bless the Joker.
He's horrible in his little post game. He's like, I had a feeling, but then I didn't.
He's so cute.
Didn't he say he was going to give
really cute.
Mike Malone? He was like, I think it was Mike Malone's birthday. And he was like, I'm going to get you a great birthday present. Either you get to go home or you get to make the conference finals.
That's true. It was Mike Malone's birthday yesterday.
Don't they seem like they are happy? Like, my thing about the Heat as well, like the Heat and the Nuggets, both really feel like they're having fun. They feel like they're playing with guys that they enjoy. And so there's this joy in watching them play. Whereas the Clippers seem like they kind of have this, I don't want to call them bullies because I don't think that they were like scary. They obviously flamed out here. But like they kind of had this sort of like their chemistry was built on mocking the other team. That's really the only time that you saw them really enjoying themselves on the bench was when they were mocking the other team. And so like they never really seemed like they were having fun outside of that. And they kind of also seem really stressed. Like this whole year kind of feels like we got to do this for LeBron. You know what I mean? And I feel like the rest of the role players are just not, I'm not interested in any of them. So that's why the Nuggets and the whatever, what is it? The Miami Heat. Those are the teams for me. They're having fun. I like teams that have fun.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, the Clippers, their whole mentality and their whole game approach was writing checks that their mouth can't cash.
Isn't that Patrick Beverley's life? Though, like, I feel like
is that Patrick plays a role and he plays it really well. He's not there to score. He's there to get under your skin, which he does to everyone. And he's there to give you 200% energy every night. And I mean, their whole team looked like they were DOA and Patrick Beverley's still out there being the only positive plus minus, so
at least he's got something.
Yeah, and he doesn't. Well.
That's the thing. Paul George is the better running mate than Pascal. Can we? Oh my god, I love that you asked this, Jordan, because I think we need to give Pascal some roses. He's been getting killed recently, and I think what we saw was that he played his role perfectly last year, and the Raptors got a championship. Yasmin put out a great piece that you should check out about Pascal Siakam and like what his role is and kind of the struggles that he had in the playoffs. But, you know, obviously really finding a space last year for himself as a second guy. And like, yeah, he's going to take some hits. He's going to take some lumps and bruises. We saw it. But what he gave us was great defense. And he might not just be the number one guy, but we saw him be the number two guy and lead his team to a championship. Whereas Paul George, the guy Kawhi wanted to trade him for, went 4 for 16 and hit all backboard on an important three in the fourth quarter of game 7. So I wanted to give Pascal
like, I think, you know, no, it's fair. Like he's just the way that we've seen him grow. I mean, you know, we've seen firsthand, like he kind of has these like meteoric sort of like bursts and then he'll plateau a little bit, but it's still like, there's still so much pressure on him. And like, you're right. Like he got everything perfect last season, but like, it's hard to do. It would be hard for any player to do that again. And it's like, especially hard for him. Like he's so young, like he's still getting a handle on like, not just his career, but like, yeah, like who he is to this team, who he's growing into like for this team. And I know there's like both sides that people want to say like, you know, yes. Also because I agree. You're, like, and this was my one kind of takeaway critique of that game is like, if Nurse kept him in because he didn't really want to like shake him up, because I think his confidence was a little bit shaky like toward the end of that. I also think your future star should be able to like potentially take some reality if Nurse wanted to like take him out for 2 minutes, give him a rest, put somebody else in, like put Pascal back in. I don't want to go too deep into like what could have happened. But I'd like to see his confidence in that way grow too, right? He can't always be on top, but to be comfortable with that. And I think just like what we've seen of him, he's going to get his legs under him. He's got Lowry as a mentor. You know, he's gonna come back like better for it. And I don't think we should doubt it. We just like haven't had to see him struggle like this yet. And that's what's felt the weirdest about it.
It's a prime example too of just because you are a number two option doesn't mean that you can suddenly slide into a
number one
with ease. Mm-hmm. I mean, that system was configured and built and tweaked around Kawhi, and then that whole same system's not going to work around Pascal, and that's okay. You don't need to become a number one option overnight. It's okay to have taken this year to kind of find your set, find your feet, and just be the kind of, like, feel out the kind of basketball player that you are.
Yeah. No, and we actually had We actually had Jerome on the last episode, and he made a really good point where he said that if we had seen Pascal make that leap to be number one this year, that would have been kind of weird. Like, how did this guy have this trajectory this fast, and already he's like ready to be the number one guy? Like, the fact that he's having some difficulties just proves to us that he's human. Like, he's not superhuman. He's not out of the world ordinary, an alien who's just gonna, you know, just go into every role that people give to him. He's gonna take his time. And like you guys said, I don't even like look at any Pascal Center anymore, because 50% of that's coming from Leaf fans, 50% is coming from people who joined like the bandwagon last year. So they don't know what basketball is. They don't know who Pascal Siakam is. They don't know how to get better. You go for it, Iman. Take over.
I'm so annoyed with all of these new Leaf fans who have issues with Pascal Siakam because their team is trash, or guys who came in last year. Like, if you to complain about Pascal Siakam because he was not the number one guy, this is a guy that we all thought was coming off the bench last year. He was not even a starter. And now we're talking about him not being a superstar in the role. Like, think about the expectations of that. Make it make sense. It doesn't. This is a team that was calling for Landry Fields to get playoff minutes because we didn't have a four and wanted to go small. This was a team that played Andrea Bargnani at the three in a playoff game because we didn't know what to do with our rotation. This was a team that was begging. Like, James Johnson was your best option at the four to guard any three or four. And he's giving us elite defense better than any of the four in the history of Toronto Raptors. And he's just not producing for you on the offensive end to the caliber that you want him to. He's not taking you to the finals, and that's what you're complaining about. The Toronto Raptors have been a garbage team for 2 decades. And are finally good. And a large part of that is the growth of Pascal Siakam. He got you a championship last year as the number two guy, and you're complaining about his production. Have you watched this team? Were you sitting there calling for Landry Fields? Were you watching at age 95 destroy the Raptors? Like, what are we doing here? Joe Johnson was killing this team a couple of years ago. Bradley Beal was waving by a Kyle Lowry after they were getting swept. That's what this team has gone through. Luis Scola started in a conference finals for this team, and you're complaining about Pascal Siakam? Shut up forever. What is wrong with this fan base? My goodness. Holy moly. I just get that off my chest.
Can we, Jerome, can we get this on a soundtrack? I want to dance to this every night once Corona lets the world open. This should be played at clubs.
Burns and gunshots.
Prop.
That was amazing. And Andrea Bargnani as our starting front court, and you're going to be mad right now at Pascal Siakam?
It's Leafs fans, man. They haven't won anything in 50 years. They don't know how to act anymore. And like, the reason why they haven't won, I think, is because of their toxic mentality. Like, I've seen Leafs fans, I'm going to probably get hated for this, but I've seen Leafs fans like go after hockey and everything whenever Leafs don't win. And it's bad. Like, they go for the jugular. They don't care about any boundaries, nothing. And you think you can come talk to Pascal, our beloved, that way? Where's your address? Put out your address. We will show up. The Shiz and Dimes will be there. Iman leading the whole pack.
I mean, now that we're like fired up to like talking about our molten core in Pascal Siakam, should we talk about
about Houston, or should we talk a little about Raptors next season? Mostly because Kelsey flagged the news that Marc Gasol may be headed to Europe. Which is very sad. Yeah, I know. It bums me out every time I think I'm ready to talk about what's... I love talking about, like, our young core and, like, VanVleet and Siakam and, like, I don't know. Well, Ananobi, I was going to say, like, fingers crossed Powell. But, like, you know, we know what that looks like. We know the growth potential of it. But then when we're talking about what happens to Serge, what happens to Mark, you know, does Lowry come back on another one-year deal? That stuff makes me sad. But we got Nurse. We signed Nurse again. So I feel like we have good momentum.
I've been eulogizing the Toronto Raptors for like 2 weeks now, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, did everyone just like forget that the offseason was like a week, like we were a couple of games away from the offseason happening, and now we're stuck in this place where it's like, yeah, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka might not, Fred VanVleet might not be on this team. We don't know what happens with Kyle Lowry moving on. Like, of course, like, I want Kyle Lowry. I want a statue of Kyle Lowry. I want Kyle Lowry to remain on this team until he's 65 years old and, like, eligible for retirement. Like, I would like him here forever. But also, I'm kind of, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this now. People are going to kill me for it. I would love to see.
I'm not listening. Hold on.
I was like, the Raptors pull a Marc Gasol for Kyle Lowry, and he still is very capable of winning a championship and contributing. There are so many contenders, like the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Sixers, the Heat. Any of those five teams could use a Kyle Lowry, like need a point guard, need him specifically. Like, he would take them over the edge and make them finals. They would be, like, I think, favorites if they had Kyle Lowry. I would love to see the Raptors do what Marc Gasol, what the Memphis Grizzlies did for Marc Gasol, and put him on a situation where he can win again. If it's not the Toronto Raptors, if the Raptors don't get like Giannis or something.
That's the thing. And people would recognize when he's outside of Toronto how deserving Kyle Lowry is of his flowers. So as much as I'd like him to stay here.
They should have realized that in game 7. As soon as he got fouled out, the game was done.
I'm here.
Really good point.
Let it go.
I'm not mentally stable enough to have this conversation. Can we move on?
Yeah,
I can't picture a world without Kyle Lowry.
No,
he's not going anywhere. He's Kyle is Toronto. Toronto is Kyle. I want him to be like anchoring, coaching, teaching, mirroring, give him the key, like give him all the Kyle Lowry dine, whatever he needs, free for dine, whatever. Like, he's not going anywhere. He can live in my house, like whatever he wants. I will move out of my house. I will go on the street. He can come to my house if that's the problem. But he's not going anywhere. I'm like, I can't have this conversation. No, I think he's fine. But like, if he leaves, I can move out. It's okay.
Yeah, he can pick up on it if he needs to for some reason. But
I can go in the backyard shed. It's cool.
All the shit that we offered to Kawhi last year should just like go to Lowry now. Like, just take it, strip it from Kawhi.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, can give it to Lowry.
Give it back to Kawhi. Yeah.
Yeah, give the key back. Or, well, actually, I think Lowry deserves his own bigger key. Like, maybe the biggest key to the city that the city of Toronto has ever welded. Like,
it should unlock every door in Ontario.
Pardon, Kelsey?
Everybody's. He should be
Everyone. He can go to anybody's house whenever he wants to. Just give him the key to everyone's house in Canada.
I would give up my home.
Iman, do you feel, I'll start with you just because of what you said about Lowry, which we won't repeat for Nor's sake, but do you feel that way about VanVleet? Like, would you be, do you want Toronto to like pull out all the stops to keep him? Do you want him to get paid wherever it is like pays him the most and seems to be the best fit for his career?
Yeah, I think it's different than Kyle only because Fred VanVleet's like a decade younger. So to me, it's like, I don't feel like he's on his last leg. So I would like for the Raptors to try and keep him just because I think what he has with Pascal Siakam is really special. Like the two play really well off of each other. And so I would like for the Raptors to keep him. I don't think that he should be the Raptors starting point guard. I've sort of made that very clear, I think, in all of my tweets. I think that he's a great shooting guard. I think if the Raptors keep him as a point guard, it just means that Giannis Antetokounmpo has to come to Toronto. But I hope that he gets paid, and I hope he gets paid by the Toronto Raptors. And I trust in Masai Ujiri to make the right decision there.
Mm-hmm.
That part?
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that three, that sort of late second dribbling of the clock, just eating up all that time. He's got to redeem himself. He can't leave on that note.
Yeah, that sucked. That was like, I still think about that. I'm still thinking about that. I'm not like, it's not far enough away from me.
I have to say, like, I didn't, because I had zero expectations as soon as Lowry fouled out. I was like, all I know is Fred VanVleet's going dribble the out of that ball, and that's exactly what happened. And I was like, he'll be lucky.
I stopped watching.
Did you?
I stopped watching after Lowry fouled out. Yeah, I was like, you know what? Oh. I can't handle it. It's because it's Lowry, right? Like, that's who you depend on to make sure that you win the game. And he did that for us the entire postseason. And the second he was out, I was like, I can't handle the heartbreak. And then having to watch Lowry on the bench watch us lose, couldn't do it. And then let that Ibaka image where he's like clapping, and then he goes like, I think Samson tweeted it out too. And that one really hurt too, because I was like to your point, Katie, earlier, I do think, like, I know the blood is will drive us crazy. I'll need to be in a mental asylum by the end of the season. But like, it's just like, if he really had just put Ibaka in the, like, on the court for maybe like 2 minutes, like 2.5 minutes, he could have given them some offensive rhythm, some sort of something, right? Okay, I'm not gonna go there. Forget it. Okay.
You know what? We live and die with Pascal Siakam. He's the future of this team. And I think that, like, if you want the Raptors to be in these situations in the future, which we imagine they will be, Pascal Siakam's got to take his lumps and bruises. Kyle Lowry went through it. He had some terrible playoff series. And look at where he's at right now. So this is just a growing moment for Pascal Siakam. I'm fine with Nurse playing him. And I'm fine with Fred VanVleet making his mistakes. Because if that's going to be the future of this team, then
he's no best to figure it out.
Win and lose by them.
It's not the worst way to have, like, your future stars figure stuff out. And, like, I mean, it's it's like the biggest stage they could really, like, mess up on and kind of blow it on, but they're never going to forget what that felt like, because they also, like, it also came so close to what it felt like last year. So they have both of those feelings now pressed together, and they can very, like, viscerally feel which one was better.
Honestly, if it wasn't Boston, I feel like I would have handled it better. If it wasn't Boston, I probably would have finished watching it. But the fact that it's Boston and it's 2020 and that's who knocked us out after, like, the amazing season that we had, I can't swallow it, that thought. It hurts.
The team is so likable. It's just the name on the front of the jerseys that's not. Like, let's pretend for a minute. Let's pretend that the Boston Celtics were the exact same team, but they were called the Atlanta Hawks. I would have felt a lot better, because – Go ahead.
Continue. I like that. I was like, they were called the Atlanta Hawks. I was like, wait, what? What did I miss while I was in I wanted to sort of point this out. So Paul George, I tweeted out that Kawhi Leonard left the 416 only for his co-star to go for 416. So that's 416 right there in the finals game. So I just looked at the last game that Kawhi Leonard played with the Raptors. And you want to know how many players scored more than Paul George did in his elimination game?
Please.
Yeah, okay. Out to you. Pascal Siakam scored nearly three times as much as Paul George. Kyle Lowry scored nearly three times as much as Paul George. Kawhi Leonard doubled Paul George's point total. Fred VanVleet doubled Paul George's point total. Serge Ibaka scored more than Paul George did in that game. Stephen Curry nearly doubled it. Andre Iguodala doubled it. Klay Thompson, three times as much. DeMarcus Cousins also scored more than Paul George did in that game. DeMarcus Cousins scored more than Paul George did in yesterday's game. How insane is that? So that's your number two, Kawhi. That's what you left us for. A guy who can't even score as much as DeMarcus Cousins in the year 2020.
What was that voice? I liked it.
That was mine.
It was like the evening news voice.
That was my DMX voice. That is my DMX voice.
I mean,
you guys, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I feel like this is a good time if there's any more questions to open the floor for questions.
I'm loving the chatter that we've got going on in the comments. It's great.
Yeah, they're like, I want to be part of that conversation. They look like they're having fun.
Yeah, active audience.
Mm-hmm. Audrey's been killing it. She's been making me laugh on the sidelines this whole time.
Yeah,
Jordan, Audrey, Jordan, Jerome.
We can read it all, guys. So it's been
the Montour for the next election. I'm here for that.
I'll vote him in. I'll write his name down.
Would you like to be Prime Minister, Kyle?
We're, as you can see, we're just going through the questions now. I do have a wild card question for you guys. Just because I'm actually curious, where do you think D'Antoni is going to go? Where is he bringing that system next?
Would you like to join Nick Nurse's bench, Mike? We need some offense.
New Orleans?
That's my guess.
To the beach.
Honestly, he should go. He could use a vacation.
Bradman and Vliet with Mike D'Antoni together would be so much fun.
Oh, my God.
He would turn him into a curry.
Yo.
It would like a little great. Mini curry, Drake curry.
We could shuffle some assistants around to make room for D'Antoni. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we're all out on Audrey. What's his name?
Yeah. We're
first off the bench. We're out on him. We got a space for you, Mike D'Antoni. Come up here. Canada's nice.
We have healthcare.
Yeah, we have healthcare.
And no fires.
Yeah, the exchange rate is really going to help your lowish coaching salary.
And it's kind of cool if you can grow the mustache back. We all love the mustache, Mike.
Yusuf Bigaman asks, Matt Tomlin expectations next season? Matt Thomas. Yeah, is it Matt Tomlin?
What's his contract? I should probably know this, but is he on a 1 year?
I think so.
Would it be really terrible, guys, if I just... Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. Peace out.
Amon's leaving. Bye.
Bye, Amon.
Bye, work calls.
Okay.
Oh, no problem. Bye, Amon. So
we'll answer the Matt Thomas question.
We will have her rant on a music file for you guys soon. Don't you worry. You can play it at your local club, wherever.
I don't know. I'm really curious about where Matt Thomas can go in terms of like not just with the Raptors and what they're going to need next season. I think they probably keep him around for a bit as like obviously an optimal shooter who like was really trying and like digging in on defense, I think, in the last few games against the Celtics, which was really like heartening to see. Like that's not his role, but obviously he's like fitting into the Toronto Raptor, which is like to take on a little bit of everything. I don't know. I'd like to see more from Matt Thomas.
Global Talib said Matt Thomas is our no frills JJ Redick.
That's absolutely
not a lie. That is not a lie.
Correct.
Just more likeable.
I mean, And you never know with our developing staff and our coaching and everything, he could come back better than JJ next season. And with some defense.
It's not a stretch.
No. He's going to go to the Rico Hines runs and come back like a brand new man.
It's true. Oh, imagine Matt Thomas is just like super jacked next season somehow on his frame. like a cartoon.
With his frame.
With like Dwight Howard's shoulder.
Yeah, so maybe not. Anyway, if that's it from everyone, I feel like that's a great place to end our... Oh, are we still live? Yes, we have one more. Oh,
that's a close-up.
Kevin, change this view. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, oof. Show them all my flaws.
This will be our last question. Any expectations for... It's true, we didn't even shout him out for all rookie second teamer Terrence Davis.
Oh, yeah. Go TD.
For our little TD too. The sky's the limit. He's
sensational. He is like, he's how I feel about Nikola Jokic, where it's like positionless basketball, which I feel is the future, and it's a future I'm really excited for. And yeah, I'm really excited for Terrence Davis. And yes, we're Nugget bandwagon fans from now.
We're all in on the Nuggets. They're impossible, like, not to love that team.
No.
Like, look at the pictures of, like, Murray and Jokic, like, hugging each other and, like, grinning, like, in their pressers together. Like, you can't not love them.
We are also team bring Jamal Murray home.
Yes. Yes. Fly it's home, Nuggets baby. All the way, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us on our new platform. Yeah, Paul Watson, I see you, Paul Watson. Kelsey sees you too.
My love.
I think that's the really exciting thing about all the young guys from the Raptors, because you know that the development is going to be there in the offseason, and you know they're going to be practicing with the right people, with the right coaches, and that's why this loss isn't as bad as it could have been, because you're just excited for what's to come for next season and the year after that, because you know you have so much talent. And you also know that you have the right pieces to develop that talent even more.
Yeah. The difference between running it back with our guys is we know they're going to get better, and running it back with the Clippers is, you know, they're going to stay the exact same. Sorry.
We need like 5 more years, guys. Okay. We have like 5 more years. Yeah. Then we'll get you a championship, LA. No.
I think that's a good place to finally end it on our third encore. Thanks, yeah. Everyone. And remember to tune in next week, same time, same place, 12:30 Wednesday. We'll see you there. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.